Thank you for joining us again for a very, very exciting teaching. Once more, I would like to thank the Lord for this opportunity that the Lord has granted me to share this amazing message. I would like to thank the Father for once more entrusting me to be a minister of His Word. Do not, every time I do not take this opportunity, as I would always repeat this again and again, I do not take this lightly. I believe that God has entrusted us with a very important task, and that is to share the word of the Lord. And so I pray today that through this message, we will be encouraged and we will be empowered to continue on our journey in the Lord. I believe that every person is born, that is born, has a purpose to fulfill. When we come into Christ, when we come into God's kingdom and we come into salvation or come to repentance, we understand that God has a purpose and a plan for us. For many of us, the journeys are long and hard. The trials are many to get us to the place that God has intended us to be. Somebody said this: when your destiny isn't average, your process won't be either. Stop running from it and lean into it. Very important to understand. Because of your purpose, your destiny or your purpose depends the warfare that you will fight. As you are embarking on a journey with the Lord, God has a great plan for your life. There are certain processes that every single person has to endure. And we all have to go through these processes. We all have to go through these challenges. We all have to go through God's molding and making. Jeremiah saw this as the potter's house and the vessel that was on the wheel of the potter. And every time the potter was not satisfied, he would break it and remake it. Many of us has been through processes like that. Just at the time in your life when you felt you have arrived or you came into your full season, then you find yourself going through another breaking or another moment or another trial or another situation in your life. And sometimes we cannot understand these processes of God. But God knows best. God understands the process. He understands, He knows what He needs to develop within us, so that when we come to the place where God wants us to be, we will then be complete and we will be ready to do the Master's work. We will be ready at the Master's bidding to fulfill the divine assignment to which we have been called. And so today, as I'm going to focus in on Psalms 105, and we're going to look at verse 16 to 22. Psalms 105, from verses 16 to 22. We're just going to look at a few verses in this particular psalm. And I thank God today for this word. You know, this word has really been a rhema word. A rhema word. It came at a season in my life when I was looking at life. And, you know, sometimes you just ask God some questions concerning where you find yourself at a certain point in your life. And, you know, you would like God to just speak to you. And I found one of the best ways for God to speak to me is through His word. And this has been a word I've meditated upon several times in my walk with the Lord already. But in this season, it's like the Lord just, this few scriptures just jumped from the pages of the Bible. And it just gave me this new life and this new hope. And I just feel that I would like to share this with many people that are in the waiting. A man of God used to say this, and it has always encouraged me so much, that waiting is not wasting. Waiting is not wasting. And I want to thank God for the seasons that at times we did not understand. Sometimes waiting can become frustrating. But the Bible says in the book of Isaiah 40 verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and they shall not get weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint. And I believe that God, when we're in the waiting, God is busy developing and forming in us, or birthing in us, or putting in us, or furnishing in us what He has planned or purposed for our lives. You know, sometimes the cliche is that we are not here by accident. We are not here by accident, we are here by divine assignment and with a divine purpose. And I believe that that is true. It might sound like a cliche. It might just sound like something that somebody just saying, a full good message. But I believe that every single person has been born with a prophetic destiny over their lives. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, the Bible says, before I formed you, I knew you, and I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. I ordained you. God says, I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. David was unaware of God's preparation. We're going to look at all of these characters throughout this message today. The purpose of this message is to encourage those and to encourage the body of believers. As you are believing and knowing that I'm not just here by chance. I'm here with a divine assignment. I have a prophetic destiny to fulfill. I have a prophetic destiny over my life. And I believe that I want to do this. Over the years, one has gone through many challenges and faced many trials. And sometimes you would ask yourself, you know, Father, when is my time? When is my turn? When am I going to get out there? Sometimes as normal human beings, we would try to accelerate the process, or we would try to go ahead of God. And many of us has made many mistakes, and many of us has messed up, and many of us has done some things that has cost us dearly. Today, some of us are still paying for some of those things which we have done. And today, I believe that this word is to encourage you as a child of God, that when you are in the process of God, God understands where you are going to end up. Therefore, he needs to take you through the process. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, if I'm correct, God knows the end in the beginning. So when God knows your end from your beginning, and therefore when you start your journey, God has to make the man for the blessing, not the blessing for the man. God has to make the man for the blessing. Amen and amen. I'm so excited for this word because I believe that many young men, many young women, many children of God has definitely been called with a divine assignment. And they are, and you know, there's a desire to just get out of there. Sometimes we just want to get out of the process which we would call the process of metamorphosis, the process of which the butterfly goes through before it becomes the butterfly. Many of us are in certain stages of that process, and we can't understand why do we need to wait, or why do we need to do this. And many times in younger years, one would be very, very hasty, and one would want to be very you can't wait. And you would sometimes make bad decisions because of not the desire to wait and to trust God for what he has in store for you. And so we look at a man by the name of Joseph, and that is what we're gonna focus on today. And I'm gonna title my message today, An Appointed Time. An Appointed Time. Let's look at first Psalms 105, verses 16 to 22. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. And he called for a famine upon the land, and he broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They afflicted his feet with fetters, and he himself was laid in irons. Until, this is where the key scripture comes to the fore. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested Joseph. The word of the Lord tested Joseph. Oh, I love that. I love that. Let's listen to the NLT translation in this. Until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. Another translation says, the word of the Lord refined Joseph. Or refined him. Hallelujah. So we look at this. Another translation would say, the NIV says, and it proved him through. Till the word of the Lord proved him through. Proved him through. The king sent and released him, and the ruler of peoples, and set him free. He made him lord of his house and ruler over all his possession, to imprison his princes at will, that he might teach his elders wisdom. Now, this is amazing. We look at this amazing, amazing story of Joseph just summarized for us in those few verses in the book of Psalms. So in Joseph's dream, God had promised him that his brothers would bow before him one day. But he did not explain how this would occur. Envy and family quarrel took Joseph to Egypt, where he prepared the way for his relatives and kept them alive during a severe famine. But before he became the second ruler of Egypt, Joseph experienced great suffering in prison. For in God's economy, suffering precedes glory and brings a servant, and being a servant precedes being a ruler. But the word that God gave Joseph came true, and Jacob and his family moved from Canaan to Egypt. We're going to pray today as we bless this word. Father, we thank you today that, Lord, that you have entrusted me to preach the message today in the name of Jesus. I pray that you fill my mouth with your word. I pray, Father God, that the utterances of my words or my lips will bring forth life and the simple would understand. Holy Spirit, lead me and guide me in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. In this particular text today, we're going to look at several points and we're going to try to expound on this particular text. And we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to just lead us and guide us as we look into what we try to understand by what we see. Now, the first thing that we look at in this text in verses 16, the Bible says, "And God called a famine, and he called down famine on the land and destroyed all their supplies of food." He destroyed all their supplies. God, who called the famine? God called the famine. What we understand by this is the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God is that the fact that he is the Lord over creation as sovereign, he exercises his rule. This rule is exercised through God's authority as king, his control over all things, his presence with his covenantal people, and throughout creation. God is in control of everything. When we look at the Old Testament, many a times they were caught up in idolatry. And one point in the book of Kings, we find that the Bible says, and Elisha called the people together and he said, if Baal is the God you want to serve, or you need to serve God. But we find that the whole background of the story is that Elijah prayed, knowing that God is in control of everything. He prayed and there was no rain. I believe that this prayer was done at the command of God's word. And at that time, people believed in Baal worship. Now, Baal was also known as the god of fertility and the god of, you know, of the harvest or rain and so forth. And so people then believed that, you know, Baal was in control, and so they would pray to Baal and believe when rain was sent, you know, they would give glory to God. But what we understand that God is sovereign and God does as he pleases. What I understand by the sovereignty of God is that God does not need the permission of man to do what he does. Psalms 135 says this: "The Lord does whatever pleases him in the heavens and on the earth, in the seas and all their depths. He makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth, and he sends lightning with the rain and brings out the wind from his storehouse." God does this. God does this. So we understand that this, in the book of Genesis, when you go back to the book of beginnings, we understand that this particular incident is an incident that God had orchestrated. God was involved in this whole process, bringing this famine, because God had everything planned. God had everything worked out. God knew that how he would then come through for Israel and bring divine providence. God has already had a plan set out for them. What we understand that whatever God does, God already has a plan. God's plan of provision is for every single person. As we find the will of God and walk in the path of God, we will find the provision of God. God has already made provision for our entire life. All that we need to do is be in the will of God. And when we understand that whatever happens in life, whatever happens life, because of the sovereignty of God, he can do as he pleases, as I said earlier. So when God calls this famine, it was for a purpose. God dried up everything. God, what happened was Pharaoh had dreams. And in those dreams then was revealed to Pharaoh what was to come. What was to come. And this was a dreams. These were dreams concerning the famine that was to come. And we see that God's sovereignty causes all of this to take place. All of this. Throughout scripture, we find occasions where God brought famines. We find that God allowed, that God does things. God does things. And the Bible would say, and God did this, and God called a famine. Or God, you know, and so God did certain things. But in everything, God has a purpose. Everything God has a purpose. In the sovereign acts of God, God has a purpose. And when we look further into this text, we're going to discover the purpose of what God did in his sovereignty. The Bible teaches us then in the book of Psalms 105, verses 17. And he sent a man before them. Who did this? Who sent the man? It was God who sent the man. God sent the man before them. Joseph was sold for a servant. I love what we have done in our introduction. We understand that servanthood precedes rulership. And here we see that as Joseph was sent ahead of them, he was sold as a servant. A servant. Somebody needs to say amen. Because we see that how God does his, how God works out his plan in our lives. How God works out his plan. We have this, some of us has received the word of the Lord. And sometimes the word of the Lord is powerful. And God promises us where God is going to take us. And we can see the big picture. But sometimes we don't understand the process. We don't understand the in-between. Today we are pastoring two churches in Cape Town. Something that I had as a vision chart many years ago. Many years in my bedroom, I would pray. We would have crusades. We would travel from city to city having mini crusades. Not understanding that those what sometimes looked like failures was preparation. Many a times we had these crusades and there would only be just a handful of people. But yet, God would prepare us for our season of manifestation, for our season. God would then do these things. And so we look at Joseph's life. Now, just coming back, I'm just backtracking. I just went a little bit ahead of myself, but I'm coming back. The Bible says he sent this man. God sent him. The point is that God had already provided someone who could supply his people with food. I'm telling you, God is amazing. God will bless somebody to bless you. God will cause somebody's business to do well so that that person can become a destiny helper to you. God will cause somebody to go ahead so they will make preparation. My God, God has a plan. God's plan always works. God will send somebody ahead of a family so that an entire family can come to salvation. God has a plan. God has a plan. Come, I tell you, God has a plan. God has a plan. Cornelius was the first person who received the gospel as a Gentile. And this was the plan for God to reach the Gentile community through Cornelius. God is like Cornelius was sent ahead of the Gentile community. That includes all of us that are non-Jews. And we thank God for that. Is somebody with me? God prepares. God sends you. I see this. I share this testimony with my wife. God put us together. God brought us together over 16 years ago. And in this over 16 years ago, God sent her ahead of a family. And because of this, her mom got to know Jesus. Her mom got to die in Christ because she was sent ahead. Many times God sends us ahead so that we can be of help, that we can be a solution to crisis, to problems. Sometimes God saves a family member so that family member becomes the one who evangelizes that entire family. Sometimes God would raise up a person in a family or in a community to have a certain status so that that person has a purpose. And that person now, because of their status, can help or affect an entire community or a nation or a city. Come on. Sometimes God sends people ahead. God sends people ahead. When we look at the natural, we look at the president, the first black president of South Africa. He was sent ahead. He suffered for 27 years imprisonment so that he could bring, so that South Africa could be a democratic nation. Come on. Somehow we don't see that at times when we have been sent ahead, because God knows that as he sends us ahead, we are his vessel. We are being prepared for something great. For something great. Your life might not look like now, like it's counting for everything. But come, I tell you, you are a man and a woman on a mission. You need to understand that. You are a man and a woman on a mission. God had Joseph in mind because he knew that someone would supply his people with food. God has planned your destiny. God has destiny helpers. God has people that will come alongside you. I don't doubt God in this season. Wherever I need to go in this world, God has sent somebody ahead, or I am going ahead so my children or people will benefit. God is doing it. Come on, somebody. God has a plan. God is he has a master plan in the name of Jesus. And so God sends tribulations into the believer's life because he wants to work out plans of blessing in our lives. So God does this. He sends these tribulations also into our lives so that God can work out plans of blessing. That's what the Bible says in Romans 8 verses 28. All things work together for the good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. You need to know sometimes that God has sent you ahead of somebody. Sometimes you are in a connection for somebody else to meet somebody else because of you. God sent you into a certain place, certain circumstances, to certain situations. And so you become the link to somebody else's destiny. I've seen this in my life. When we came to Cape Town, there were certain connections God would set us up with, and these connections would now become connections for other people that would become life-changing. And we took the call, so God sent us ahead. Sometimes this is how God works. God would send people ahead, and these people will now become the source of supply to the other people, or to the people that will be linked to them. I thank God for this. Somebody needs to say amen. Somebody needs to say amen. Glory be to God. So we learn about God. We learn about God's divine providence in this scripture. That God, as I said earlier, God has made provision for all that we need. When God sent Paul to Philippi, God knew that in Philippi, Paul would meet people that would support his ministry for the next 10 years or 20 years on his missionary journeys. So God has already prepared people. Come on, I want somebody to have confidence in God. God has prepared. If God sends you to another nation, another city, another place, God has already, his providence has already made a way for you. God has already made a way for you. God has already the people. God has already the place. God already has the job, the business, the things in mind for you. Maybe you're about to relocate and you are full. You are maybe nervous. You are maybe a little bit feeling uncomfortable. But I'm telling you this one thing. That if God has sent you, God has called you, God has already made his providence for you. Makatai. I love this. God has already made a way for you. Somebody needs to say amen. Joseph was sent by God. Joseph was sent by God. And as I said earlier, you know, sometimes we don't understand that when we have been sent ahead. When we go through the trials of life or through the hardships of life, we cannot sometimes make out what God is trying to do. Because for some people, going through difficulties is something that feels strange, something that feels odd. But I'm telling you, when I've come to realize that part of my makeup is going to be trials, tribulation, and hardships, I now understand that God's plan is working out for the good. Joseph even came to understand in the end what God was busy doing. Because there are times in our lives where we don't see this plan and we can't understand. I've got this prophetic word about a glorious end. But why am I going through a miserable present? If I can maybe define that. Why is my present miserable but my end is glorious? And Joseph must have had these dreams, must have kept Joseph going. These dreams that Joseph had of one day being a ruler must have been the fuel. But one thing that I also know, Joseph definitely had with a relationship with the unseen God. Joseph definitely walked by the faith that the Bible says that Enoch walked with. He walked with God. I believe that Joseph must have been intimate with the Lord, because going through everything that Joseph went through and still keeping the same attitude tells me something, that Joseph knew where his source of supply and strength came from. And therefore, Joseph, after everything, Joseph understood that God was in it. The day when his brother surely came back to Egypt, coming to look for food, Joseph must have said, this is the plan of God. Because if it wasn't for Joseph, there would be no nation of Israel today. And God sent Joseph ahead to preserve an entire nation. My God. My God. God is in it. Somebody needs to say, God is in it. God is in it. When we look at people today, their destinies, and people that are busy living out their purpose in ministry, in business, somebody was sent ahead of you. And because of the wisdom that you have gleaned and because of the impartations, today you are where you are because somebody paid a price. Somebody had to go ahead. My Jesus. Oh, I love this. I love this. The Bible says, Joseph says this, after he goes through his ordeal and after he goes through many things. And we know that at one point, Joseph has two sons. He names the one Manasseh and the other one Ephraim. And Joseph says, Manasseh means that God has made me forget my difficulties. Ephraim is God has now blessed me in my land of affliction. And so Joseph now has this revelation. But he doesn't understand that it's not long from now that he's going to meet those who has persecuted him. Those who have envied him, those who were jealous about him. But Joseph, in the complete makeover of Joseph and complete understanding that God is in it, listen to Joseph's reply. And I believe that that is where God wants to take us, because many of us has become embittered. Many of us has become embittered. We were not made better, but bitter. And some of us are struggling to overcome emotions and feelings because of what people has done to us. But listen to Joseph. Listen to Joseph. Understanding his assignment. This, when you come to a place where you understand your assignment, you'll begin to let go of the offenses, the unforgiveness, and everything that has been done for you, to you. The Bible says in Genesis 45, 7 and 8, and God has sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive and to preserve many survivors. So it was God who sent me here, not you. Listen to Joseph. He said it was God who sent me ahead. It was God who sent me. You were just part of the plan. Your enemies, your haters, those who are jealous, are all part of God's divine plan to get you to where God wants you to be. Therefore, don't hate them. Therefore, Jesus says, bless those who curse you. Do good unto them that despitefully use you. That is what God wants us to understand. And we see that Joseph said, it's not you, my brothers. It's God's plan. God's plan. This was part of my makeup. And he's the one who has made me an advisor. Promotion doesn't come from the north, from the south, but it comes from the Lord, the manager of his entire palace and the governor of Egypt. My promotion was for your benefit. When God raises us up in the kingdom, it's for the benefit of those that are coming after us. Great generals has laid hands and imparted the blessing upon man and woman of God. Many has gone before us, and because of that, we can learn. We read their books, we listen to their tapes, because they have gone before us. And today we can receive the blessings, the wisdom, the keys to breakthrough, because somebody went ahead. But when you listen to the stories of the generals, you understand that they had to pay a price. Their lives were not easy. Some went through difficult times of divorce and separations and poverties and hardships and difficulties. But today we can read those rich treasuries of wisdom and gain and glean from it. And have our lives been changed and transformed, because now those that are singing the chorus in glory can look back and look over their life. Surely, I do not know what they are doing in heaven, but surely they can look back and understand that I had to go through it. Paul knew that he paid the price for the gospel to go all over the world. We thank God today that God sent somebody like Paul ahead, like somebody like Peter, that was willing that day when he was sitting upon that roof to look at that vision and understand that God had something new in store, and he was ready to be the vessel that would go unto the Gentile community and be the firstborn to proclaim the message of the gospel to the Gentile community. I'm telling you today, if you want to be a person of purpose, then you need to understand that there's going to be times when God will send you ahead. If you're going to be a person that's going to impact and influence your society, your community, and your generation, you need to understand that God's processes are different and that God has a purpose in your pain. God has a purpose in your pain. Glory be to God. Joseph is in the situation and he understood that this was all the doing of God. Therefore, Joseph said in Genesis 50 and verse 20, "You intended to harm me, but God intended all for the good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people." This is a revelation. This is an insight. God brought me to this position. God lifted me up for this purpose. We are not here to be the celebrities. We are not here to live in the glitz and the glamour. We are here like John the Baptist knew. He said, "I have been sent to prepare the way. This is my purpose. I know that if I could just say that I'm the one, there would be more accolades. There would be more praise. But I understand that I have a purpose and a plan that I have to serve out." And after his purpose and his plan, he lost his head. But John the Baptist knew, "I am sent to prepare the way." Hallelujah. I've been sent ahead. Abraham must have come to this conclusion at the end of his life. I've been sent ahead because God had a plan for the nation of Israel. I'm going to be the one that's going to have to leave the Ur of the Chaldeans and follow the Lord all the way, not knowing where I'm going, but God has a plan. God is sending me ahead, and Isaac is coming, and Jacob is coming, and the 12 tribes of Israel are coming, and I'm going ahead of them. Somebody needs to say amen. And whatever the enemy has meant for evil in your life today, know that God's gonna turn it out for the good. Your message is gonna become, your message is gonna become your message. Your tests are gonna become your testimony. God has a plan. You have been sent, maybe you've been sent into an influential nation, and God has blessed you. And sometimes you need to find out, God, my purpose of this blessing is maybe so I can sow back into the communities and the people's lives that I've left behind, because you have sent me ahead. Sometimes God lifts you up to influential positions and places in life because God knows you are going ahead, and so that you can bring others alongside you and pull others with you and not stand on their heads or stand above them. And sometimes God knows it all. God knows it all. God, I know that as the plan is unfolding for me in Cape Town, God has sent me ahead of brothers and sisters for a plan and a purpose that is coming into culmination in the name of Jesus Christ. We need to understand that when we are sent ahead, we need to stand our ground. After we've done all to stand, we needed to stand like Joseph stood. Joseph stood through the test and the hardships and the difficulties, and we need to stand the test of time. We understand that we need to be rooted and grounded in Christ. We need to draw our sense of strength and power from the Lord. Satan will attack us on every side, but the Bible says that we are hard-pressed on every side. We are not crushed, though we are perplexed, we are not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. And struck down, but we are not destroyed. We look at Joseph's life and we understand that Joseph was sold because of jealousy. What is the trial that you are facing? You could be facing trials of many kinds. Today it might not be jealousy, it might be envy, it might be rejection, it might be many things that we go through in the preparation process, but God's got you covered. You need to know that God is working all things out together for the good, because the Bible promises us, "He that begun a good work in us is faithful to complete that work in which he has started." Glory be to God. Hallelujah. The Bible teaches us that Joseph was sold because of the jealousies of his brother. The next thing that we're going to look into quickly is the hardships and the difficult parts. I've mentioned some of the things as we were going along in this message, but just to get into more closely at it. The Bible says they bruised his feet. Verse 18, they bruised his feet with fetters and placed his neck in an iron collar. Our journey to fulfill purpose, there are always challenges and hurdles. The Bible says they afflicted his feet with fetters as if he was a great criminal. so that he could not really walk, because that is what they did in those prisons in those days. That he himself came into the irons, mean that he suffered inwardly because of what was done to him. He suffered inwardly. But Joseph did not allow what he went through to imprison him. Though he was in a physical prison, but he was not in an emotional prison. His soul was not captive to what his circumstances depicted. I believe that's the victory God wants to set us free today. God wants to set us free from the prison of offense. God wants to set us free from the prison of unforgiveness. Because this affects our destiny. This affects our walk with the Lord. And Joseph, that's why I said when he met his sons, he prophesied what God, the work that God was doing on the inside. He was prophesying his inward work through his children. And he said, Manasseh, God has made me forget my hardships and my difficulties. And then Ephraim, now God has made me fruitful. Because without forgiveness, there cannot be a fruitful destiny. And we need to understand that offense and unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment is something that will hinder our harvest. It's something that would have kept Joseph in delay. It's something that would have kept Joseph in prison if Joseph did not let go of these things. It's something God worked in the heart of Joseph. And we thank God that we have the Holy Spirit that infuses inner strength within us so that we can overcome the challenges of life and the hardships and the difficulties of what people has done to us. And we can stand in the presence of God, knowing that our hands and our hearts are pure, because the Bible says, who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Only he that has a clean hands and a pure heart. And that is what God wants us to understand today. Here's Joseph. They bound him in fetters and placed a collar neck. And this wanted to affect Joseph emotionally. Many of us today needs God to heal us. Inner healing needs to be something that needs to sweep the body of Christ. We trust God today that even the healing in the balm of Gilead, maybe a divorce has affected your life and you are struggling to overcome the bitterness and resentment. Maybe those who have offended you and hurt you is something that has got you yoked in the collar of iron. Maybe you're struggling to overcome the hurts of the past, but today the healer in the balm of Gilead is here. Maybe you're offended and you're struggling to forgive those that has walked out on you, those who has hurt you and persecuted you. We know the day when the brother sold Joseph unto those Ishmaelites. Joseph must have cried out for mercy, but his brothers rejected his cry. Maybe you have faced that difficulties and that hardships in your life and you don't understand and you're trying to overcome, but you have said, God, I will not forgive them unless I get revenge. But today I want you to know that if you do not forget your misery of the past, you will not experience the fruitfulness in your present. I can say something about Joseph is that Joseph didn't allow these hardships to make his life hell. Joseph rather took these hardships as stepping stones, because even in the heart of Potiphar, Joseph had favor. The favor of the Lord was upon Joseph. Come and tell you, child of God, it doesn't matter where you find yourself in your present circumstances, but favor is upon you. I declare today that the favor of the Lord shall cause you to prosper, even in your time of affliction, shall cause you to prosper, even in your season of waiting. Joseph didn't understand these processes when he was in that place, maybe for over 20 years, when he was in Egypt, and he went through these difficult things, but God always favored Joseph. The Bible says, God was with Joseph. These words are so precious to me. Jabez prayed that prayer. He said, oh, that thou would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. Thy hand will be with me. And that was, I believe, Joseph. The Bible says in Genesis 39, 41, there on the Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph. And everything that Joseph did prospered. The Bible says even Potiphar's house prospered. But Satan wasn't yet finished with Joseph. The enemy will always come, because the enemy knows that your man that is on the man that is on a mission is a dangerous man. And therefore Satan tried one more straw to get Joseph. But Satan didn't know this one more straw will be the setup to Joseph's greatness. Sometimes the attacks of the enemy is all preparation. And we're going to see how this works out for the good of the believer. We can understand how jealousy, false accusation, how these things that the enemy would try to put on us, how God will use these things to get us into his perfect plan and will. God has a timetable, and we need to understand that everything works according to the timetable of God. The Bible says in the book of Psalms 105 verses 19, until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord refined him. Another translation says the word of the Lord tested him. At this point of the text, God is setting the stage now to unveil Joseph. When Pharaoh has these dreams, God set the stage. There's a stage set just for you. There's a moment of manifestation that's going to come just for you. Joseph's prophecy is about to come into fulfillment. Pharaoh's dreams is all a setup. Now, what I like about Joseph, in his down moments, Joseph kept going. Joseph never stopped doing what he was doing. Joseph never lost his dependence upon the Lord. Joseph, when he was called upon, started, still did the things for God. Many times today, we go through difficulties and hardships, and we set out the things that God has intended for our lives. We stop doing the will of God. We stop doing the purposes of God. We stop doing what God has called us to do. And here we find that Joseph had the gift of dream interpretation. And Joseph had not been falsely accused by the wife of Potiphar. But yet in the prison, Joseph didn't allow his circumstances to override or to overwhelm him to such an extent that he said, if God doesn't get me out, I'm not going to do nothing until God shows up. But Joseph kept doing what Joseph kept doing. Joseph kept being Joseph. I want to encourage somebody today. Don't let your circumstances break you to a point where God has called you and you have been called to destiny or called for a purpose in the kingdom. And now you face hardships in your marriage and in your home and with your children. And now you sit back and think, you know what? I'm just going to sit. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to go about doing what God has called me to do. Yet Joseph did not have that attitude. Joseph kept going. Joseph kept going. And in the midst of his trials, there was a butler and a baker, not knowing that the butler was part of the plan to get Joseph to the palace. Sometimes in the midst of our struggle, we don't know we might meet people. That is the key to our breakthrough. People, that is the connection to that breakthrough. My God. My God. We don't understand sometimes that in the midst of that evangelistic outreach, you could be meeting somebody that could just be the solution to your child's problems. Somebody that could just be a solution to your financial woes. Somebody that could just be some... come on. Great preachers has gone through great trials. John Wesley, they speak about his wife, how his wife treated him and how she was a menace to John Wesley. But John Wesley kept preaching. And today John Wesley is written in the history books of the church because he kept doing what God told him to do. Many preachers has gone through difficult times. I remember one preacher had a son that was on drugs, but he kept going around the world preaching to the nations. And today we see that many preachers has caught the spirit of that man and they're acting and doing and moving in the Holy Spirit because of this man's ministry. And it was all because though his son was high on drugs at home, yet he kept following the plan of God. And yet in those processes, great things happened for his life and great things came into his life because God was the solution. God had people, God had connections. Come on. Sometimes when you're going through difficult times, church, don't give up. Go and visit the old age home if that is what God said you must do. Go and preach in the prisons if that is what God said you must do. Go and do your evangelistic outreach. Stand up for church and go to the house of God. Serve in the house of God. You never know just when God will set you up with a divine connection. Preach on Facebook Live, even if you have one follower for a year, but God gave you the word to go live. And you keep preaching. One day, God will meet you at the point of that great need that you have. Woo! The Bible says, and Joseph now prophesied or interpreted the dreams of the butler and the baker. And it happened just like that. But another thing that happens then. Another thing happens. And just when you think that this is all over, another thing happens. And the Bible says, and the butler forgot about Joseph. But this was a, it forgot. But Joseph, but God already knew. God had a time. God had a time, because the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, there's a time and a season for everything. The Bible says in the book of Galatians, when the fullness of time came, Jesus was born. Everything works with a time, with God's timetable. And we see that this moment now, we understand that the butler forgets Pharaoh has the dreams. God sets the stage. I understand one thing is that this, if we have a gift from God, the Bible says a man's gift will make room for him and bring him before great men. And here we see that Joseph now is brought before the king of the most powerful nation of the world at the time. My God, he's brought before Pharaoh. And we see that through everything now, God has set the stage. God's moment, Joseph's word or Joseph's prophecy is about to come into fulfillment. Somebody is at the place of breakthrough. Somebody's at the place where God is about to lift you up. Somebody's in the place where God is about to bring everything into fruition. Somebody's about to be in the place where God is about to, your purpose is about to come into divine fulfillment in the name of Jesus Christ. My God, I thank you. I thank you. When you go through these processes, God has a purpose. James says that you will be perfect and complete and you will lack nothing. You will lack nothing. The Bible says the word of the Lord tried him. Tried him. Hallelujah. We need to understand when the word of the Lord tries us is that we believe in the promises of God, but God will test our faith. Our faith will be on trial continuously. A delayed blessing tests man and proves them metal, whether their faith is of precious kind, which can endure the fire, says Charles Spurgeon. And many, hallelujah, many of us has gone through some things. But the Bible says in the book of Daniel, the thing was true that Daniel saw, but the time appointed was long. God had a timetable. Hallelujah. God has a timetable. Habakkuk says, even though the vision tarry, it is good. Wait for it with patience. There's a time for the vision to come to fulfillment. There's a trying word, but it's also a delivering word. And we must bear the one till the other one comes. The trying word and the delivering word. Glory be to God. We understand that God's time is the best time. God has everything worked out. God has everything planned. It's so amazing how God takes us through these things. And we understand that God's time is the best time. Charles Spurgeon said this, the prince of preachers, one of the greatest preachers who ever lived, said this. He said that if God had to tell him another 20 years before fulfillment, he would have rather waited than just got busy, because he understood what it is now, the pressures and the trials and the hardships of ministry. And that is what we need to understand, that God has the time for your manifestation. We just need to walk in obedience and trust to God. We need to trust him at all time. We need to believe that everything will work out together for the good to them that love God and to them that are called. What we understand, when our time arrives, it will be as a suddenly. I even believe and I declare this season to be a season of divine suddenlies. Because the Bible says after Joseph had a dream, the Bible says, and the butler remembered Joseph. May people remember you. May God remember your seeds that you have sown. May God remember your sacrifices. May God remember what you have done. The Bible says, and the butler said, Waini, and he repented of his sin of forgetting about Joseph. And the Bible says he informed the king about Joseph, and the king said, go and get Joseph. And the Bible now teaches us, here was a morning, maybe everything was as normal. Joseph was in charge of the prison, checking the numbers, checking the prisoners, doing his daily job, being faithful in what he was called to do. And this day, the Bible teaches us that Pharaoh, now we understand that we're going to look at it in the last few verses, how this thing transpired. And we look at how this thing happened. And Joseph is now in this place of suddenly, just getting back quickly there, at the place of suddenly. Suddenly, what happened? Suddenly. This is powerful. Suddenly. I believe the Bible doesn't use that word, but this moment, the Bible says, and Pharaoh called for Joseph. And they went to fetch Joseph. I'm sure in a few hours, from prison to palace, from slave to ruler. My God, tomorrow you can get up, your whole life could be changed. This year could be the change in your world. You're an unsung hero, but God is getting ready to manifest you. Don't give up. The Bible says the plans that he has for us are plans to prosper us and to give us a hope and a future. Somebody needs to understand that God has a plan. But you're going to go through tests. You're going to be tried. The word tried in this particular text is that is which is commonly applied to metals in testing their genuineness and their purity. And every man and woman of God can tell you that they went through the test to test them. Smith Wigglesworth, apostle of faith. He said, it's like 1,000 steam trains rolled over me, steam engines rolled over me. That's what his trials felt like. We look at Bible, we look at people in the Bible, Joseph and David and Job and Moses. And we see that these people went through tests and trials. We see the book of Hebrews 11, people that faced challenges and hardship. But God was busy. They were in the refinery. They were in God's refinery. God getting them ready for greatness. Every man and woman of God has a testimony of hardships and difficulties. Every person will tell you about the in-between. Every person will tell you about the difficulties that they faced and had to endure to get to the place that God had in store for them. God has a prophetic destiny for you. God's bravest soldiers were developed and trained in the furnaces of affliction. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah 48:10, I've refined you, but not as silver is refined. Rather, I've refined you in the furnaces of suffering. Great trials then produces great faith. Job said this through revelation and insight. He knows the way I take, and when he has put me to the test, I will come out as pure gold. Psalm 66:10 says, you have tested us, O God, and you have purified us like silver. Every trial in our life, God wants to purify us. To purify us is to make us or our faith pure and clean, so that more and more we have only Him in mind and not ourselves and our interests. Sometimes God will kill self-interest through trials and tribulations, through hardships and difficulties. When Moses went into the wilderness, he was a mighty man. But when Moses was discovered and found by God in the wilderness by the burning bush, Moses felt like he could not do the assigned task. That is when God strips you of yourself and full dependence is now on God. 1 Peter 1 verse 7 says, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's been tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor in the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. It will bring you praise, glory, and honor because God will say, my good and faithful servant. May your trials, may your faith remain strong in the times of difficulties. There's a season of elevation coming. There's a season where God is going to lift you up. There's a season that God is going to manifest you to this world. Man and woman of God, child of God, your time is coming. For many, the time has come. That your time for elevation, your time for manifestation is here. God in Jesus for 30 years. And on the 30th year, God manifested him. The Bible says that John the Baptist was in the wilderness until the time of his manifestation. Your time of manifestation is coming, child of God. Just hold on and do not give up. Hold on and do not quit now. The Bible says then further, and I close with this. In Psalms 105 verses 20 to 22. And then Pharaoh sent for him and set him free. The ruler of the nations opened his prison door. And Joseph was put in charge of all the king's household. And he became ruler over all the king's possessions. And he could instruct the king's aide as he pleased. And teach the king's advisors. Listen to this. Promotion doesn't come from the north, the south, and the east, and the west. But promotion comes from the Lord. Your elevation is going to be great. Your uplifting is going to be great. Your elevation is going to be awesome. When God lifts you up, no man can pull you down. When the promotion is of the Lord, no man can get you out of there. When God has put you into a place, no man can demote you. I'm telling you this, they can fight you. They can fight you. But if God has a plan and put you in that plan, you will succeed, child of God. The Bible says, and the king sent and loosed him. And he was thrust into the inner roundhouse of an officer. But he was released by the monarch himself. Oh, he went to prison by soldiers putting him into prison. But on his day of release, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, called unto Joseph to set him free. Glory be to God. Yes, your demotion. Yes, your moments and times of suffering. They went through unnoticed. But on your day of promotion, that God will lift you up, and many will come to your bidding. Many will come to the time when God has elevated you. Many will come and they will celebrate your gift. Hallelujah. Because of what you have endured and what you have been faithful in. Let God promote you and lift you up. Hallelujah. God will lift you up. And I don't like to actually say this, because God doesn't want us to get up in pride. But one thing is this, that people that has looked down on you are people that's going to look up to you. Pharaoh got Joseph. The Bible says he burned with anger and he put Joseph in the prison. But that day, then Joseph became ruler. He even became the ruler of Pharaoh. There are times when God will lift you up, and those who were your persecutors will now become the ones who will sit at your feet and listen to the wisdom that God has given you. And this is not to say with pride. This is to be humble, to know that it's only God that deserves the glory and the honor. We do not preach a gospel that, listen here, people sit at your feet and at your bidding, you are not this high and mighty person. No, that is not the attitude of the kingdom. When God raises you up, it was because you were sent ahead of them. Glory be to God. And the Bible says, he became now Pharaoh's advisor to his advisors. Woo, that's powerful. He became the advisor to the advisors. Sometimes God sends you ahead of people, and God then does a work so great in you that the work that God has done in you will benefit even those who have rejected you and even those who have been up against you. My God, I sense this is such a glorious anointing. Such a glorious anointing. Such a glorious anointing. When God gets ready, a preacher said this, when God gets ready to enlarge his prisoners, kings will become the turning key, or the key to open up the doors for that person to reach their destiny. The Bible says in Acts chapter 7 verses 10, and rescued him from all his troubles. This is God. And God gave him favor before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. May God grant you favor like never before. May God give you favor in the eyes of kings, leaders, rulers, wherever you go. May the favor of the Lord rest and abide upon you. And God also gave Joseph unusual wisdom. This man had wisdom of the world, but God gave him supernatural wisdom. And so that Pharaoh appointed him governor over all of Egypt and put in charge over the palace. Pharaoh said, it's only the throne that is greater than Joseph. But everything was put under his subjection. My God, you have to go down to go up. You have to serve to rule. Shakatala, I feel the anointing of God. Because God is getting ready to lift people that has gone through the process. God is getting ready to lift people that has gone through the struggle. And as I conclude today with this, in God's dealing with Joseph to fulfill his promise, lies an encouraging lesson for all of us. That we can trust that God knows all our difficulties, and that he has already prepared a solution for them in advance. He oversees everything and directs everything for the good he has planned for us. The way in which he does this, we can often only see afterwards. At the moment itself, we wonder how things will turn out. We see this also with Joseph. Who could imagine that God would send Joseph to Egypt in this particular way? To be a blessing to his father and to his brothers in their time of need. For Jacob and his sons, that blessing is first and foremost spiritual. They restore to their relationship with Joseph. The blessing is also as material. They receive food and are even allowed to come and live in Egypt in a place called Goshen. When we look at this text, there's a deeper spiritual meaning to this. And the deeper meaning of this particular text and section of scripture about Joseph is that he's a type of our Lord Jesus Christ, who as the Savior had to undergo a path of rejection and suffering before he could actually be the Savior. The Lord Jesus himself expressed it this way. Was it not necessary for Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? The grace of God is expressed in the psalm because God sent himself, his only begotten Son, into the world to save us. My prayer today is through this message is that you will have a newfound hope, is that you will have a new understanding that I'm going to press on. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to trust God's process. I know that the plan that he has for me, his plans to prosper me, to give me a hope and a future. I might not feel the prosperity now. I might not understand the plan now, but I know it's going to work out for the good. I want to pray today for each and every person. Raise your hands as I pray for you. Father, I pray for every one of your servants. I pray for those who are in waiting, Father. Let them understand that it's not wasting. I pray for those, oh God, who is coming into their season of fulfillment. May they know that, God, that everything that has happened for a purpose. Father, I pray today, oh God, that you will strengthen your people, that you will infuse them with inner strength. As Paul continuously reminds us about this inner strength in the book of Ephesians, I pray that every single one of your servants, oh God, will walk in the strength that you provide. Father, let us never be dependent upon ourselves, our own abilities, oh God, but let us be dependent upon the dunamis power, your strength and your ability, Father, to fulfill your divine assignment. Father, I thank you today, Father God, for your goodness and for your mercy today, Father. Lord, we didn't understand even when Daniel had to go through the lion's den before you could become a very important in the land of Babylon. And Father, today we don't understand that the three Hebrew boys had to go through difficulties before they became important in Babylon. And Father, today we understand that we need to stand the test of time in order for us to go to the place that you have prepared for us. Father, I thank you today, Father, for your mercy and for your grace in Jesus' name. God bless you. And remember, there is an appointed time and you are coming into your season. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.